for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Good morning. My name is Courtney Schultz. I serve as one of the pastors here at Stonebridge. And as always, it is a joy and a privilege to be gathered together with you in worship of our God here in the Bridge. We will be wrapping up our sermon series on this idea of seeds of promise, where over the past few weeks we have explored together what it is that God might reveal to us through some of the parables that Jesus taught from about how God's grace works in our lives and in our world. And so we began by talking about how God's grace is sown on all of us. Every single part of our being, all of our bright spots and our shadows, and on all of us, every single one of us, here and out in our world. We continued by talking about how in times of tragedy, in difficult circumstances, when we feel like evil is winning in the world, the promise of God's grace tells us to look toward the hope of the kingdom to come. And in the meantime, to look for the helpers or to be them where we can be. And last week, we talked about how God's grace should bring about in us a sense of gratitude that drives our participation in the church. That what we do when we come together as the body of Christ stems directly from our gratitude for what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And in the offering of God's grace on all of us and on all of us. And so we'll close today by moving from the Gospel of Matthew to the Gospel of Luke, where we will share together in finding out what it is that God might reveal to us in the parable of the barren fig tree. So if you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, I'd invite you to get those out. We're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 6. If you don't have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, then I would invite you to follow along. The words will be on the screen behind me. And so let us hear what Jesus has to say about the barren fig tree. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." As we allow this parable of Jesus to sink into our bones and prepare our hearts and minds to hear from the Lord this morning, I invite you to pray with me. Holy and living God, we give thanks for your word. God, we pray that this morning your message might speak something to us that settles deep inside of our beings and that drives us out into the world to be your people. God, I pray that these words would be your words, that this message be a demonstration of your Spirit's power and nothing of my own. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So recently, Chris and I were watching our Netflix account and a new feature emerged. Who loves it when a new feature emerges? Yes. It's called Skip Intro. Chris thought it was great. Here's what Skip Intro is. People like to binge watch, that's what they call it, episodes, seasons of TV shows on Netflix. So just one episode after another. Until you finish the whole season. Sometimes people can do this in one sitting. Skip Intro is there because Netflix, somebody, smart in Netflix realized that when people are binge watching, they don't want to watch that same credit song, that same 15 or 20 second song, every episode, one after another. And so now you can just hit skip intro. And it just goes right past it and moves you right into the next episode of the TV show. Okay, I see the advantages. But as I think about skip intro, what stands out to me is that we as a people are not very patient. Not only now will we not wait 1 week to another week for the next episode of the show, we don't even want to wait the 15 or 20 seconds for the intro to play. We got to have skip intro. We are not a very patient people. And so Jesus tells a parable, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and it has a lot to do with patience. I don't think it was a coincidence that Jesus picked a fig tree as the illustration for this parable. Fig trees were essential to life in ancient Israel. The people used their shade, their leaves, and their fruit in life-sustaining ways. Those who are listening to Jesus tell this story would have understood the importance of a fig tree producing fruit. And they would have understood the importance of getting rid of a tree that was not productive. Good soil is hard to come by in ancient Israel. We don't have time to wait on unproductive plants. But here's something I've learned about fig trees in this past week. Do you know how long it takes a fig tree to produce its first fruit? About 3 years. Other fruit trees, you may get a crop from in the first year or the second year, but fig trees take a little longer. And in fact, one gardening website that I read on said it could take up to 6 years for a new tree to give its first fruit. And so here Jesus tells us a story about a man who has a fig tree that he's planted that is not producing fruit 3 years in, and he's ready to give up on it. But the gardener says, oh, don't give up on it just yet. Give me another year with it to tend to it, to nourish it, to care for it, and then let's see if it produces fruit. The gardener has the patience that the fig tree needs to grow. So I've talked about how parables typically reveal something to us, either about our God or about ourselves or about the relationship between us or about any combination of those. And so what this parable first reveals to us is something about our God, that our God is patient, that our God tends to us, nourishes us, patiently waits on us. God offers us the invitation into relationship, into God's grace, and then waits on our response. I have said it to you many times before. It is a choice. God doesn't force us to answer that invitation. God doesn't say, you have to be in relationship with me. And God doesn't say, you have to answer your calling to be active in the body of Christ. God simply makes the offer and waits on us to respond. And so we get the choice. And sometimes we make that choice daily. And sometimes we make that choice hourly. It's not a single point in time choice. The choice to live into this relationship with God and to live into our calling as the body of Christ is something we make each moment of the day. And so we can choose to live outside of that grace, and sometimes we do. Let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we stray. Sometimes we just don't want to answer the calling that God has put on our lives, and so we don't. But remember, our God is patient and merciful and good. That's what we've talked about for 3 weeks. And so when we do repent and turn back toward that relationship, when we do indeed start walking that journey again, when we embrace what God is calling us to do. There is our God waiting, tending to us, nurturing God's call in our lives, offering forgiveness for when we've turned away, and receiving us back into God's arms with a welcome, with love. So if the fig tree and its fate reminds us that our God is patient, what then does the fate of the fig tree reveal about us? Well, just before Jesus tells this parable, it seems he's been confronted with an all too familiar question. So if we look just before this in verses 1 through 5, here's what we find Jesus saying just before he tells this story. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He, Jesus, asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "No. I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem?" "No. I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." So Jesus speaks to two tragedies of the day. It would seem that the people who he's talking to have reminded him about this massacre of some people at the hands of Pilate. And then he's been reminded of this structural accident, this tower that has fallen and killed 18 people. And though the text doesn't say this, I kind of imagine that in the context of all of that, the people were sitting there asking the same question we always find ourselves asking. "Jesus, why do bad things happen? Why did those people lose their lives? Why did we not? Were we spared because of our faith? Were they not because of their lack? Why does this happen?" And here's Jesus doing what Jesus does in the face of these kinds of questions. He asked them another question. Then he gave them an answer. And then he told them a story. It's a very Jesus thing to do. Ask a question back, give them an answer, tell a story. It's what we've been looking at for nearly a month. So he says to them, "Do you think that they, those who lost their lives in these tragedies, were worse sinners or worse offenders than anyone else?" And then he answers his own question. He says, "No, of course they weren't. Tragic things happen in our world. One is not spared because they are less of a sinner than the other." Then he says, "All of you," now that's us too. Me and you, we're part of this. "All of you, unless you repent, will perish as they did." And then he tells the story of the fate of the fig tree. So the story is an extension of this earlier conversation. And we find out that the fig tree has a timeline, right? The gardener doesn't say, "I'll tend to this tree until it bears fruit." The gardener says, "I will be patient. I will tend to this tree for another year and let's see what happens. And if nothing happens, then we'll dig it up." And so our earthly timeline is also limited. We know death is a part of the life cycle as human beings. Some people's timelines are longer than others. No one's timeline is known. It's always unknown. We're only guaranteed the breath we have right now. And so Jesus calls us, in light of human fragility, in light of the fragility of life, Jesus calls us to repent or perish. And yes, we are promised resurrection in Christ. We are promised eternal life that begins now and is promised in the future. But if we don't repent and live into God's grace right now, then we cut ourselves off from that eternal life. You see, we perish. Because eternal life is not just some prize in heaven that we get to after we die. Eternal life is a gift of right now and later. And eternal life comes with a calling. And so we perish each time we choose to live outside of God's grace. Because truthfully, friends, the choice is this. We are either living into the freedom of God's grace in our lives, or we are living as slaves to sin, which is to be not free. And so repent here, this word that Jesus is talking about, it actually means in the Greek to have a whole new way of thinking, to see the world through a different lens. As we might understand it when Paul calls us later in the New Testament to put on the mind of Christ. To put on the mind of Christ. That's what Jesus means when he says repent. We don't have forever to make that choice. We've got a timeline. And so do the other brothers and sisters around our world and in our community who are waiting on us. But do we really want to put on the mind of Christ? Do we really want to see the world through the lens of our God? Because to put on the mind of Christ means that we cannot stop thinking about the fact that more than 840,000 people, more than 840,000 people in our world are estimated to die each year from health complications resulting from lack of clean water. 840,000 people each year lose their lives because they don't have a basic necessity. The deaths of 360,000 children under the age of 5 could be avoided each year if these risk factors were addressed. 360,000 children each year. Do we want to put on the mind of Christ? These are not children we can push to the back of our minds and just think about when the next Living Water trip comes or the next night of worship is here or when it's the Christmas season. Because these are children and these are lives that the people who have traveled from this very church year after year to Central America to drill wells for, it's people we have touched. People we have grown to love, children we have played games with, they are real and they are alive and they are in danger, and we cannot push them to the back of our minds as we drink our clean water. Jesus didn't go about his earthly life forgetting about all of those who exist in unjust and dire circumstances. In fact, Jesus went to them, the lepers, those who were sick, the widows and those who were poor, the lost, the sinners, those who had lost their way, those who had society had pushed to the margins, both physically in their communities and mentally. Jesus went to them and he experienced their pain and grief together with them. And then he sought justice, love, and freedom for each of them. Do we want to live with the mind of Christ? Because if we do, we cannot forget all of those in our world who lack the basic needs of life, clean water being just one of them. It's tough for me too. What a lens through which we might view our fellow humanity. And that's just one set of statistics among so many that I could list. If we want to live with the mind of Christ, we can't forget those who will spend the next several years rebuilding their lives and their homes and their communities after the hurricanes. We can't forget those who will succumb to malaria today and day after day, a fully treatable and preventable disease. We cannot forget the many boys and girls who are trafficked and sold into slavery right here in our community and around our globe. We cannot forget the up to 43% of LGBTQ teens who will contemplate or attempt suicide in the next year. If we want to share in the mind of Christ, then we can't forget so many who search for relief of their pain and for an identity in the abuse of alcohol and drugs. If we want to live with the mind of Christ, we cannot forget our brothers and sisters of color who don't live with the same freedom that I do. If we want to live with the mind of Christ, we can't forget all the families right here in McKinney who are drowning in debt as they desperately pursue to keep up with the Joneses. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 say this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works, can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So by faith itself, if it has no works, is dead. Do we want a living faith? Do we really want to put on the mind of Christ? Do we really want to live a living faith? Jesus leaves the parable unfinished. Unfinished. We don't ever know. Does the tree bear fruit or not? All we know is that there is a gardener patiently tending to this tree. And so our God patiently tends to us. Will we bear fruit? As the gardener tries to bring the tree to its purpose, so our God tries to bring us to our purpose. Will we bear fruit? I think so often, and I am guilty of this, we sit around and we are waiting on our God to put an end to all of the injustice in our world. But friends, have we ever thought that maybe our God is waiting on us? Waiting on us to make the world fit for the return of Christ. Waiting on us to live a living faith. Now, if we're feeling sad and helpless in the face of these statistics and all of these things that I've just listed this morning, then we have forgotten to really embrace God's grace in our life. Because here is the good news. God is with us. God has equipped us. God has given us the Holy Spirit and the church. I told you a couple of weeks ago that the Holy Spirit ain't sleeping. We have the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead in us, working in us and through us as God's body on earth. We don't have to feel helpless. We go with the assurance that God is with us. God is with us. That is good news for us and for the world, that God is with us. And so what can stop us? What can stop our God? Is our faith dead? Because our God certainly is not. I pray that each of us, and together as the church body here in McKinney, that we might embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. and that we might give of our time and money to bring clean water to those in our world who need it, we can. I pray that we might embrace the power of the Holy Spirit and work to change the laws of our nation so that those who buy and sell our children face greater consequences, we can. I pray that we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and we share our stories of how Christ has transformed our lives with those who are hurting and grieving and seeking healing for their pain. I pray that we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit and we live a living faith, knowing that our God goes with us and that our God will overcome all evil. Our God goes with us. Will we go with our God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give thanks for your word this morning that sometimes cuts a little too deeply. God, we pray that we might embrace the power of your presence in our lives and in our church community. God, that we might be ready to live out our mission, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. God, we know you are good and you are able. We pray that your words might guide us in the week to come, that until we gather together in this place again, your Holy Spirit might whisper in our ear day after day, I am with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.